Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 33. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the saviour of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scripture says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 33.
So, marvellous. We are, once again, moving through Ephesians, bearing fruit and growing roots. So, Rachel stole my thunder a little bit earlier. She told me, told you the title of this talk. What I want to say before we begin is, before any of you, any number of you, people who are not married, or are divorced, or are widowed, or don't want to ever be married, or quite frankly, are fed up with marriage talks, I'm going to say this up front. This passage is about Jesus. It's about Jesus and the love he has for his people and who we are supposed to be in response to that. So, this is not just another marriage talk. So, on our journey through Ephesians, we have seen Paul talk to us about who we are in God. And we have seen him talk about how amazing Jesus and the Holy Spirit are. We know that we are chosen, we are loved, we have been made alive, and we have been brought into unity with God and one another, because as we know, every you in Ephesians up till this point has been a you all and not a you. Those yous have up to this point all been plural. This is about all of us. We're our identity is flowing out of what we have learned about Jesus. And Paul is calling us now to live differently, walking in light and in love and in wisdom, and expressing that in all of our relationships. So, this is where we are. We know all of this. We have been reading Ephesians for a very long time. And now we get to this passage on marriage. And you can, and this passage has been very much viewed as a practical teaching for husbands and wives, but actually it is so much more than that. So however we arrive today, whether we are married or not, Paul has insights for each one of us. So let's start with the tricky verse. The one that everybody goes, the one that means we have to change the marriage service, the one that, you know, that one. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So what do we think of when we think of the word submit? I guess it conjures up in our minds being made to lose our power, our autonomy, being forced to comply, to give in, or place ourselves beneath someone else's control. The word submit in the Greek, it's a military word. It talks about us being under authority. This one. But I think that Paul is reaching for a different version of what Christian submission, of what submission under Christ looks like. A willingness to place oneself in a posture of love for the sake of unity. So if you were a soldier, as the word submit often means, if you started running off in the opposite direction when your company's all heading forward, the unity, the lack of unity you are now displaying is going to mean possibly that your unit might get wiped out or you wouldn't accomplish what you were supposed to do. But the letter of Ephesians is all about love. So Paul's not talking about control, he's not talking about power. The power he talks about in Ephesians is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is about love. And as we explore this passage, I want to see if you can come to that same definition with me. So, thing is, this passage doesn't start with wives submit to your husbands. This passage starts with these words. And he's talking to the big plural you, which is every single person in this room. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's the big heading. The wives bit is the simply being asked to do actually what every person in this room is supposed to do, submit to one another. And we don't just see it here in Ephesians. Paul talks about it in lots of places that we are, in Romans, he said that we should honour one another above ourselves. Every person in this room, we ought to honour above ourselves. In the King James, it uses the word prefer. This is a first, Sarah using the King James. But I love the word prefer. See, what we're reading here isn't Paul inventing a new standard for married people. He's inventing a new standard for us all. We're all called to live out, to take a different posture. The posture that puts your needs over mine. That honours one another rather than taking the honour. A posture which looks in all relationships like self-giving, Jesus-shaped love. We are all called to submit, first to Jesus and then to one another. In Jesus, we see the greatest act of submission of all. He laid down his life for us. God of all creation, Jesus loved us so much that he gave up his life that we might live. And as we grow in our discipleship, as we begin to look more and more like Jesus, that's what we're called to do. Not die, Jesus has done that, but to sacrifice our needs, our wants, our desires for each other's benefit. He gave up his life. He gave up his life for the church. Love should be sacrificial. It's costly, and it's active and it's self-giving. Whenever I prepare for a talk, God challenges me on what I say. Every time. One of the big challenges for this talk came on Monday morning when Letizia's plane had been cancelled back to Germany three times, I think, by this point. Maybe two. And she needed to get on a train at 6 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, when you're driving somebody, when you're lying in bed awake at 5 o'clock going to God, I'm awake, aren't I? I need to get up. I need to take it to the station. Sometimes this kind of love is costly. It's a little story, but sometimes it's costly. And it involves us choosing better. Because God's desire is to make the church, to make each one of us holy and clean. And he comes to love us and to change us and to challenge us to do the same, to put our feet on the path of transformation. Jesus loves us exactly the way we are. We don't have to change to make God love us any more than he does today. But because he loves us so much, he refuses to leave us like this. He wants to see us changed because that's for our best. Like a good parent, he cares for the church, for his bride, for each one of us. And he nurtures us. And as he nurtures us, we need to grow and mature to become more the people that he wants us to be. And part of how he does this is by encouraging us to live differently to the rest of the world. Two. And part of that is to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. To take a posture of love for the sake of the unity of us all. For the sake of the unity of his body, we are called to submit to one another. Last week, Megan talked to us about the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect love, perfect unity, perfect communion. And we see that that communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a static thing. It's a flow of movement, of loving and being loved, of giving and receiving, of acting together in harmony, of preferring and honoring one another, of submitting and putting the other's needs above their own. Each person of the Trinity constantly emptying themselves for each other and at the same time receiving what belongs to the other. And that's what love looks like. It looks like perfect submission, a posture of love for the sake of unity. It's mutual. It's self-giving, it's honouring, it's preferring one another. And this is the kind of love that we're invited into. God laid down his life for us, and he calls us to sacrifice for each other and for him. For love is the self-giving choice to seek the good of the other, shaped by Jesus' sacrificial life and death. And resurrection. Paul says something interesting about marriage. He says that this union, the two becoming one, is a mystery. And it's not the kind of mystery, I was going to call it a Nancy Drew book, but that really dates my age. It's not a mystery like you'd see on TV, and I don't even know what is current. It's not a puzzle to solve, right? It's not a Rubik's Cube. Adam called it a sacred space before Christmas, marriage. A sacred space. In marriage, something happens that is deeper that we don't really fully understand and we can't explain. You don't just share your life together. Again, Megan was saying last week, you would think we plan these talks. That you don't just share a home when you get married. You share all sorts of things. You share friends, memories, moods, bodies, even DNA. You share everything, and something mysterious happens, a connection forms that is real and lived, yet is always greater than we can understand. It's a mystery that points before itself. Now, I'm not saying that marriage is just there to be a metaphor, but it is a picture of a participation in the kind of union that God is drawing all of us towards. Jesus says that on that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you, because we have a place at God's table. We're not invited to observe God from a distance. We are invited in to the very life of God. And the way we live, the way Paul is encouraging us to live through Ephesians, is meant to move us towards that union, towards union with God and union with one another. And marriage, when it works really well, gives us a glimpse of what that life can look like. It's a signpost. It's a picture of the kind of love we're all learning to live, of giving and receiving, of honouring and preferring, of laying down our lives for one another. At its best, marriage reveals the shape of Christian love that is available to and should be the destination for all of us. So it's not just about husbands and wives. This is about how we're all meant to live. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is the goal. To love God fully, to love others generously, and to live lives shaped by communion, by union, by preferring the needs of others, not living in competition, but living in unity together. Marriage should give each one of us a visible picture of that reality. But the invitation is for us all. Marriage reveals the shape of God's love, but Jesus invites us all into the reality of where that love comes from. We are all called to submit to one another, to prefer one another, and to do to others as you would have them do to you. We love God first. That's where love begins. We're invited in. We love our neighbor as ourselves. That's mutual submission. And we're to do for others as they would do for us. We are to prefer one another. To submit is to honor. To honor is to love. And to love one another is to treat each person as you long to be treated. Think about the best marriage you know. Faithful, kind, forgiving, tender, generous. Beautiful, right? But even the best marriage cannot carry the weight of your soul. Even the best marriage is not enough. The love we are all designed for, the ultimate love we are all designed for, is in God. And is found within Jesus. You were not just made to love one person, but to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And all your understanding. And your neighbor as yourself. Can I have the band up, please? So how do we do this? It's all well and good, Sarah saying up the front, saying, well, we need to submit to one another. And submission looks like us preferring one another, loving one another for the sake of unity, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that look like? So last week, how many of us have been practicing what Megan suggested that we practice last week? Anyone remember? Marvellous. There's a couple of hands in the room. I haven't got my glasses on, but there are a couple of hands in the room. She suggested that before we did anything, before we went anywhere, we took a couple of moments and we stopped and we said, I need to remain in you in this setting. Moving in to the next place. Sit in the car and pray, Jesus, come with me. And we need to do that in our relationships too. I wonder in our moments, in our relationships, whoever it is, with our parents, with our spouses, with our friends, with our people at work, especially in the moments of tension, what does submitting to one another look like? I think maybe it looks like, Jesus, I choose to remain in you. Come and love through me at this moment. It looks like stopping. It looks like praying. It doesn't look like biting back. It doesn't look like retaliation. It looks like, I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to ask Jesus to bless the person in front of me. Because as we bless the person in front of us, it changes our view of them. Or maybe this week, we choose to prefer a person on purpose. Look at that. That's alliteration. Prefer a person on purpose. What does that look like? Well, maybe it looks like letting them speak first, or choosing their comfort over ours, or doing an unseen task, maybe just giving some credit away. Here's another one. How about letting somebody love you this week? Now that one can be harder. How often when somebody says something helpful or kind or affirming, do you deflect, minimise and not say, just simply say thank you? I know, I'm talking to myself. Julie's looking at me. Yeah, that's you. Please don't all be nice to me this week. I might die. Or maybe we bless and don't compete. When comparison or irritation arises, maybe we stop. And we simply say, God bless whoever it is that's causing that irritation. God, may they flourish. Have a look at the list. Think about what you want to do this week that will help you practice submission. And let's make some choices. Because these small choices help train us to live from union and not from effort. Let's choose to remain in God and let Jesus love us. And let his love transform us. And let's imagine a world where we all lived from a place of choosing generous blessing over our own needs. Because what a different world that would be. Let's stand and pray together. Lord, we know that we are safe in your hands. We thank you, Jesus, that you lived, you died, you rose again, that we may have life and life in all its fullness. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you again today. You are the Lord of our lives. And as we stand before you, we ask that you would fill us with your love. Transform us with that love, Lord, so that it might overflow from us into our marriages, into our families, our friendships, that we would bless our neighbors and that all the world would see in us how much you love them. And I ask today for a special blessing on our marriages, Lord. Give us grace to submit to one another and to love each other well. Thank you for the mystery that marriage is an illustration of how much you love the church. Give us grace to live in love and respect, that we can show a little of your glory. And may we all live in the truth, Lord, of everything Jesus has done for us. Help us to love you with all our hearts, minds, strength, soul, and understanding, and our neighbors as ourselves. May we live out lives with the posture to do good things for others, that we would grow more like you, Lord Jesus, every day. Amen. Thank you.